Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we're going to be talking about a subject that's so near and dear to our financial heart. Yes, because we all have one. And that is taxes. And we have a great gal, Bonnie Lee, who is with us today. And we're going to be talking about her fabulous publication, Taxpertise. And boy, are we getting hit like you wouldn't believe with taxes. They're going to be going up everywhere here in the state of Washington. They're waving all kinds of flags about the increase in taxes, even though our employment has really gone down into a deep, deep, deep six dive. And it's happening all over the country this way. So I don't envy people like Bonnie Lee that have to keep records and have to help us understand things. But her wonderful book, Taxpertise, really does just that. If you are a person that wants to be more educated, more informed, this is a book to get. Bonnie Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm glad to be here.
You know, before we went on the air, I mentioned to you that anyone that belonged to a clan of bean counters, I had total admiration for.
That's right, back in a previous lifetime.
Now, you know, we know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk and how some of the beans he got really ended up giving him a great deal of positive experiences, but we'll skip through most of that, get to the fact that all of us are really down to counting beans on one level or another. Even the people that supposedly have a great deal of wealth are getting very, very stressed and are very, very concerned on many, many levels. This tax situation that we've got, how did you, let me back up here. My brain's going in a million miles an hour in different directions. First of all, how did you find that you had such a fascination for money, and what compelled you to decide that you wanted to help people work with their taxes?
Yeah, you know, it started out, I guess, when I was a kid. I loved math. I just really thoroughly enjoyed math class. To me, it wasn't homework and drudgery. It was like solving little problems, little puzzles. More like little puzzles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my grandmother, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, she gave me a DE ledger, and I didn't know what a DE ledger was, but it had like you know, each page had two columns on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about 12 or 13, I would record my babysitting money, and it would come in, then in the other column I would record how I spent it, and then I would, you know, balance it out to see if it was the same amount I had in my little stash under my bed, you know. So I think I just started, you know, with money real early on.
And Warren Buffett have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Because he'd love to do that kind of stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. It was just really fascinating to me. And, you know, algebra, find X, you know, it was like a little magical mystery tour for me. I really enjoyed, you know, everything having to do with numbers. So I started a bookkeeping service. And then that led into taxes, and here we are 25 years later, and I'm still going at it and loving every minute of it.
You know, when I think of history, Roman history, people would complain about taxes. It seems like every government in the world, historically, taxes have always been a part of every scenario that they've been involved with, and
uh-huh.
It's never gone away. So bookkeepers and what we call certified public accountants, you know, CPAs, then all of this education is very important, and in today's world, it is so complex. It's not just, gee, you record what you bring in, and then we'll tax you X, Y, Z. That's too simple. No, you've got all the pluses and the minuses and time frames and all kinds of stuff that goes on, and that's what your book goes into.
Yes, yeah, you're right, Donna. It gets very, very complicated. It isn't just a real straight-up, easy, you know, system at all.
And then with the IRS, how in the world do they keep up with it? They have such a turnover. They have rules changing, it seems like, every other month anymore.
Oh, they have trouble keeping up with it, too. And you know, and nowadays, especially because, you know, with all the electronic filing that people
mm-hmm.
are doing, I mean, electronic filing is up. Hardly any paper returns go into the IRS anymore. And so all those key punch operators that used to input all of your data from your paper tax return that you would sign and mail to the IRS, they aren't out of jobs. They've just been retrained to be enforcers, you know, auditors, revenue agents, that sort of thing. And so they're just now learning tax law. And a lot of times they are wrong about things because they've only got like a year or so. They know enough to be dangerous. Their experience level isn't up there yet. You know, it's like when I first started out, I knew enough to be dangerous, I'll tell you.
And that's the key. That is really the key. So the point of information, too, for those of you listening, always have someone that you can interact with. Do not assume that you're going to know it all, because there are so many, call them loopholes or changes that go into place. What might be right one year, next year is going to be out of date. So it's enough to give everybody white hair very quickly.
And not only that, but, you know, so much of the treatment of a financial transaction is an it depends sort of situation. You know, I mean, there's so much that is not clear-cut tax law that's subjective and, you know, based on facts and circumstances of individual cases.
Right. That is so true.
It is true, yeah.
A delightful fact, and I'm saying this with tongue-in-cheek, believe me, a real tight tongue-in-cheek, 40%, approximately, 40%, 43% of every dollar you make goes back to the government in taxes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just an average. If you're self-employed, you get to pay extra. What is that, an additional 15%?
15.3% self-employment tax, and that's to fund your Social Security and Medicare.
Right. And then if you really are making big bucks, you could be paying upwards of 50%.
Because you get the alternative minimum tax thrown in and...
just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you bring out something that is very important right at the very beginning of your book, and that is you are a strong believer in educating young people about money.
Yes.
Why is it that there is such an apathy in the educational system for preparing young people to go out? Not everybody's going to be the vice president of a company, but to go out and understand how to do a checkbook, what a savings account is. I had a friend over at my home just a few days ago, and she was talking about her granddaughter, and she was explaining how she and her husband keep a budget, and she said, then you have to also look, you know, you have an interest on an account, and her granddaughter looked at her and said, what are you talking about? What's this?
Yeah.
Now, this is a 15-year-old.
Uh-huh.
It's
so very, very sad. You know, I always felt that the senior year of high school, you know, forget about, you know, who signed the Magna Carta and why in 1215. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's talk about something urgent, daily life. Let's talk about what's going to be happening with people on a daily basis. And these, you know, especially in the financial arena, how to buy a car, how to get and maintain good credit, how to buy real estate, how to buy your own home, how to do your own tax return. What I did this past year down at the high school, they did have a program that I thought was excellent. They had these kids running a little cafe, and they had to do the daily receipts and take inventory and just do everything that is involved with running a small business. So I thought that was an excellent, excellent thing to offer these kids. But what they didn't do was teach them anything about taxes, which, you know, if you want, especially when you're self-employed, over 50% of your income is going to, you know, go out to taxes if you're not careful, if you don't plan properly and realize some of the advantages and savings that you can that are available to taxpayers. And so I offered a class. I said, all right, let's show these kids how to do their own free electronic filing, you know, because a lot of the kids worked and they have their little W-2s, so we had about 10 kids came in, and they had all the computers set up, and they each sat down, and I got them onto irs.gov, and from there we went into the free electronic filing, and they showed, you know, I showed them how to enter their W-2 information and figure out if they were going to get a refund or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should they pay, you know, $75, $100, $150 to a tax professional so that they can get their $23 back on their federal refund?
It's amazing. I commend you, because I think that that is very, very important. And it's something that even a lot of adults today, many, many adults, haven't got a clue. And we're talking about people in their 30s and 40s. I've even met people that are in their 70s.
Uh-huh.
That didn't have a clue.
No. Yeah,
absolutely no clue. And I thought, boy, that is so sad. Because whether you're at one end of the spectrum, in between, or at the other end, doesn't make any difference. You need to know. But again, it's important to have a professional. I liked your little poem in here. I'm your tax shock jock. Say that three times really
fast.
I'm going to minimize your taxable income, maximize your deductions, and dispel your fears about the IRS. So listen up.
Yep.
That is good. That's good.
Yeah, that's my little shout-out on my radio show. I have a little show down here in Sonoma, Taxpertise, and so I say that on the air and, you know, say, so listen up, we got a good show for you today, you know, and then go into fast-breaking IRS news stories and
mm-hmm.
and then tax tips, you know.
Well, I know most people, when they hear the term IRS, they turn white.
Oh, they do, and
they
I don't blame them.
They absolutely cannot breathe. And having been subject to audits, you know, many, many years ago, and it was at a time when they were doing audits on all small businesses in the country, and if you did a lot of traveling, which I did at the time, you had to go in and present every single receipt, which I went through the experience. I didn't have any problems. I had accountability for everything.
Good.
But there were, and this went on for 3 years, and then all of a sudden they decided they wanted to do something else, and so I wasn't on their checklist anymore.
Sure.
But it's interesting how there can be red flags. Now, let's go right into the basics about getting organized. What would you say to my audience so that they could be more comfortable? Because it's when it comes to taxes, there's a paranoia when it comes to dealing with the IRS.
Mm.
Why?
Oh, boy. Yeah, there people are afraid. And, you know, there's a lot of really nice people that work at the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if people have tax problems, one of the first things that they want to do is go underground, you know, and just run and hide and not face it, because they know how it's going to be expensive. You know, a lot of people are afraid of criminal prosecution, when in fact there won't be any criminal prosecution whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're afraid that just because they didn't pay their taxes that they were going to be arrested, and therefore if they call the IRS to talk to them about it, they're subjecting themselves to possible capture and mm-hmm. incarceration, and yet that's not how it works. You know, usually during tax season, right around April 15th, somebody's going down. You know, we got Wesley Snipes last year, right? We got Willie Nelson. We got Leona Helmsley. You know, every year they nail some celebrity mm-hmm. so that they can make sure that they get the word out, you need to file and pay your taxes,
mm-hmm.
you know. But the average person, you know, if they call up and say, oh, man, you know, I haven't filed for the last 2 or 3 years, I need to file. I owe you some money, and I need to come to terms with this. You know, can we set up an installment agreement? Or here's my circumstances. Can you deem me uncollectible for a year and leave me alone for a year while I get it together? You know, and these are things that are possible, and also offers in compromise where you can pay pennies on the dollar. You know, that's a possibility, too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I do need to interject something about that. There are a lot of little sham scam firms out there that you hear the TV and radio commercials, pay pennies on the dollar, you know. But,
wrong.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, people don't qualify for it. And so it's good, you know, if they can understand what's involved in the process of being, you know, or being able to put in an acceptable offer. And I cover that in my book. I show what the IRS formula, there's actually a formula that they use to determine how much they will accept. If you owe, you know, $100,000, you might be able to escape for $1,000,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, and that's why it's important to not be fearful. And I think also, too, you should always have someone go with you if you're going to go in there, just so that you have a feeling of some kind of support. And if you have a good CPA, that's what I did. And
yeah.
It was great. It was no problem. If there was a question, and I just looked at Herbie, who is my CPA, and he said, okay, we'll ask those questions. Don't worry about it. He said, it's
perfect.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
He said,
and
right.
Sometimes you don't even have to go at all. Mm-hmm. You can just send a pro in, and they can handle the entire situation and report back to you. And my clients are very comfortable with that. They don't want to have to go in there and go through all that stress.
And, mm-hmm.
And I prefer, fine. I actually prefer to just go in on my own anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to bring something up regarding files. Because when you are keeping records, having files clearly marked is very, very important. But you said there are some files that should be classified as permanent and maintained at your fingertips. I'm just going to read off some of this. Instead of being shredded or going to storage, others can be stored at the end of each month or year. Your permanent files are your product warranties, real estate escrow packages for properties with active ownership, home improvements, insurance policies, social security statements, birth certificates, and trust documents.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, putting the filing section into six compartments, and number two, the first one was permanent files. Number two is current finances, you know, bills, vendor files if you're in business, bank statements, a tax file for the current year. And then three, you want to have a place for prior tax return files, which I agree with. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go and get a previous IRS return, and it's at my fingertips.
There you go, yeah.
It's right there, and I pull it out and say, okay. In fact, I had to do something just yesterday. And I said, okay, here it is. And someone had moved my item that I'd had. I said, I can't find it. Well, they had found it in among some files that were going to be going into storage. And I said, no way. I've got to keep those so that I can access them whenever I want them, and so I know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You have real estate papers, escrow papers, homeowner's insurance policy, property tax paperwork, home improvement files. That's of the fourth section. And then if you're into investments, you need to have a file for that. Mm-hmm. And then miscellaneous, a grouping of miscellaneous files. And you'd say something that I think is interesting, because I've gotten pros and cons on this. You say you may want to scan your documents to computer file rather than keeping hard copies. But there are some situations where you're going to need hard copies. Give us the pros and cons about doing that.
Yeah, well, when you do need a hard copy, if you've scanned it, you can always print one out. You know, and I've been trying to go towards a paperless office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great if you have a really good, solid backup system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on your computer. If you're backing up daily or, you know, every time you use the computer, if you're doing backups, then it's a wonderful way to go. You save, you know, it's green and you know, it's save a lot of money on printer paper and that sort of thing, too. Not to mention space in your office. And
true.
So I'd been, instead of printing out the preparer copy of every tax return that I did, I saved it off to PDF files.
Mm-hmm.
And for each client. And then I would scan their tax documents and save those, and didn't need to have the filing cabinet anymore, basically, you know, except for other types of files. And then we had a big computer crash in May. Yeah, the whole thing went down, lost everything on my hard drive.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, I was back up and running in 20 minutes because
wow.
we had an excellent, you know, backup system, and they were able, it would just copy the entire hard drive every single time, you know, and do a fresh backup once a week, and then it would just append to, you know, the current backup throughout the week. And so the whole thing crashed, went in, said, sorry, you know, we can't recover any of the data, and I said, okay. And so they just took the backup system, put that onto a new hard drive, and I was back up and running in no time at all. And I think what I lost was, like, some of the data from earlier in the day that we had just, you know,
mm-hmm.
input. So that worked out pretty well.
Oh,
so, yeah,
boy.
It works well if you have a real good system to ensure that you are backing up.
Oh, that is so important. So for those of you listening, if you're going to put something on a stick, or if you're, you know, a memory stick or whatever, remember, that backup system is important. I have a friend that did what you did, and he went and put all of his documents, everything. He said, I scanned it, and he told his wife, he said, if the house is burning, get the computer, to heck with the furniture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Huh? Just grab the computer, and my thought
yeah.
was, oh, my goodness. If you don't have a good backup system, You've got to have those things. And, you know, you can have lightning hit your system. We've had that happen. You can have all kinds of things go wrong. So having that backup is absolutely, absolutely necessary. Now, here we are, so many of us in business, we have those things that we can write off and those things that we cannot write off. Let's talk to the business person for a moment. What do they want to do? And, let's also address someone that maybe has a hobby that's turning into a business where they're making. What is it that can be considered a hobby and a business? I mean, how do you do?
Yeah, the biggest difference when it comes down to taxes, Donna, is that if you have a hobby and you're making some money off of it, you can only write off your expenses to the extent of that income. So you can never take a loss on a hobby and have that loss applied against other income to reduce your taxes.
Okay.
If you have a bona fide business, then you are able to take your deductions, and if it creates a loss, you can write that loss off against other income, or you can carry it back a few years and carry it forward several years as well until you use it up and reduce prior taxes and get refunds, cash refunds, to put in your pocket immediately or use it against future earnings. And so it's very tricky. A lot of times when the IRS sees a loss after loss, you know, year after year after year with a particular business, they start looking at it. And if it looks like it's kind of one of those fun kind of businesses, like, you know, the guy's a photographer or, you know, quilt making or something like that, they're going to say, hey, no, this is not really a business. We're going to call this a hobby. And we're going to disallow those losses, and now you've taken those losses against other income and reduced your taxes. So now, guess what? We're not going to let you do that. We're going to change your tax return, and now you're going to owe us some money.
Ouch.
So, yeah. So if you're serious about your business and you are experiencing losses, you know, there are certain things that people can do to ensure that that it is a legitimate business, rather than just a hobby that isn't really making any money for the person.
So that's
covered in my book as well. There's about 12 different steps, I think, that you can take to ensure that the IRS will accept it as a legitimate business.
Right. Now, let's talk about the home office. This is growing by leaps and bounds.
Boy, is it ever, Donna.
Boy, and there was such a stink about this. I forget how many years ago it was.
1992.
My goodness, there was a horrific stink.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have an office in your home, it's got to be specifically used for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the economy has hit the skids as it has, a lot of people are wanting to do home-based business. What are the things that they really need to be aware of with this?
There are two caveats. You've got to make sure that your office is your principal place of business and that it's used exclusively for business. And that's what the IRS looks for right from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, I've got this little retail store downtown, but I bring home some work, and I do a little bit of work over here at the house, and I look up some stuff on the web at home, and so I'm going to take a home office. Won't work because it's not your principal place of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your storefront is your principal place of business. And then it has to be used exclusively. So you can't have, you know, you can't be in there watching Leave It to Beaver on TV while you're, you know, and then, you know, have a guest room / office. You know, if it's a room that has a multi-use, you know, like say it is a guest room as well as an office, well then only the portion that's used for office can be, you know, directly expensed and allocated.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the room would have to be considered personal use.
All of these things are so very important. And when you have your home office, keep your expenses. You can take a percentage off of all the bills that you have, the utilities. And there's all kinds of little things. So it's very important if you are for any of you listening to the show, if you're interested in having a business in your home, you really need to think through, and that's where her book, Taxpertise, really helps. You need to think through what you need to do, and when in doubt, try to find someone that you can talk with that can really give you the bare bones, the nitty-gritty, because you want to be able, if you're going to be working out of your home, you might have to tap separate telephone lines, whatever. You need to know how you work with this so that your record-keeping is really on par.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is so much good information in your book. It's just wonderful. Now, you talk about deductions in here, and I love the question, can I call my dog a business expense? Boy, what, I've got two. I'd love to do that, but I don't think so. Not unless you're using them as a model and you're making money.
Or security,
yeah, right. Then you
can
do
that. Junkyard dog, there you go.
That's a good one, okay.
Yeah.
But seriously, there are a lot of things you just cannot use as a deduction.
Yeah, and what they look to is it an ordinary and necessary business expense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's their way of defining whether or not you can take a deduction for business or not. Is it ordinary and is it necessary for your industry to have this particular expense?
Mm-hmm.
So see, it's a very subjective thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very subjective. It isn't like you could, you know, there's no list. You know, basically that the IRS has that says, oh, you can deduct this, but not that. You know, it's just whatever is an ordinary and necessary business expense. And, of course, they do have a lot of rules. Boy, when it comes to travel, meals, and entertainment, I suggest to anyone who's opening a business that they look at the publications that the IRS has for those particular business expenses, because they are just littered with exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And with guidelines as to how you can deduct it, what is deductible and what isn't. And so it's very important that, especially if somebody's going to be doing a lot of traveling or entertaining, meals, that sort of thing, that they take a real close look at what the guidelines are to make sure that they are in compliance.
Yes, and then there's also something that people need to be aware of. If they're in business, there's the aspect of giving gifts, and this is something that you can have a deduction for. There is a certain percentage, and if you itemize everything out, and you have a good record on this, and everything is shown, we use a good accounting system, and everything is just itemized down practically to the penny, and this is something that really comes in handy.
Oh,
because
yeah.
If ever you're audited, then you've got it. So here you go.
And yeah.
You may also have to have all the receipts. But
sure.
if you've got it electronically stored, or if you've got it stored appropriately where it's easy for you to get to, and you
mm-hmm.
just say, okay, this is what I do, because that's what happened with me so many years ago. I just picked up the box for the year and said, here it is. And I took the whole thing in. They said, thank you very much. And they returned everything to me.
There you go. That's
and they even exactly found some mistakes that the bookkeeper had been making. They said, we think you need a different bookkeeper because, all of this was not recorded like it should have been, and you would have this deduction. So I ended up coming out ahead.
Oh, good for you.
That was amazing.
Right.
But
yeah.
The business gifts are important because many times people in business want to acknowledge their employees or different persons and customers, this type of thing. So you say business owners are allowed to purchase gifts of up to $25 per client or employee per year in your book.
Right. Isn't that awful? Only $25?
That's terrible.
That would be an insult to my employee if all I gave her for her birthday was something valued at $25 after all the years that she's been working for me, as great a gal as she is, I'll
mm-hmm.
tell you. And you know that number has not changed in the last 27 years since I've been doing taxes and bookkeeping. That number has not changed.
No,
it's
but
been
the taxes 25 keep
bucks
going up.
Since the 80s, and that's crazy. You'd think it would be indexed for inflation, and by now it'd be like at least $100. But there are ways around it, not like, you know, evasion techniques
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. But sometimes if you give something, say you want to give some hockey tickets to a client
mm-hmm.
as a thank you, you know, you might just write that off as entertainment. Maybe it,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's they're valued at $100, you get 50% of the $100, so you got $50, and that's a lot better than $25.
Absolutely.
So, you know, yeah, and some of it can be termed promotion, you know, rather than as a gift. It could be a promotion thing, and therefore part of your advertising. So it just, you know, it just kind of depends, and that's where it can get a little bit subjective and a little, you know, weird to defend.
I agree. Well, you can tell from just the few points that we covered, there is going to be a lot more in this book. If you're thinking of having a home business, if you're wanting to become more educated, the book Taxpertise is going to give you a lot of information. If you're wanting to form a corporation, a lot of the ins and outs, a lot of good suggestions. Bonnie Lee has been my guest. You can go to her website, Taxpertise, and that's TAXPERTISE.com, Taxpertise.com. Bonnie, it's been a delight having you as a guest.
Thank you, Donna. I really enjoyed it. That was fun.
This has been wonderful. This is Donna Sebo, Taxpertise.com. Check it out, as well as the book. Donna Sebo, we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, Donna Sebo here, and telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you'd like to chat with me, all I would like from you is your first name or your initial. Then I also like to know where you're calling in from. After that, I'll be happy to give you the insights that I have, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Oh, by the way, I had someone call me and ask me a question. I wanted to be sure and let you know about this. They said, Donna, I'd love to give as a gift for a member of my family, and they also had a friend, and they said, do you do gift certificates for people where we can give them a gift for the holidays, if we wanted to have them give a gift of a reading with you? And I said, oh, of course, I've been doing that for years and years and years. So if this is something that you might be interested in, all you have to do is call me at my office, and I'll give you all the details about the gift certificate and how it would be sent out, etc. So this is something I'm happy to do, and I thought I would mention it since that question has been posed to me. And I've had people do that so many times. They'll say, I want a gift certificate for someone, and they make it around the holidays or maybe for their birthday or whatever. But I'm glad to do that. So that I wanted to be sure to mention on the air. Again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the toll-free number. Now, I want to let you know, tomorrow we are going to think like marketeers. Yes, we are going to learn how we can be effective in marketing ourselves. Now, we often don't realize that we're selling ourselves 24/7. And this is something that when we become more alert and more aware, we recognize that maybe there are some things we shouldn't do. And I will tell you, Lauren Sonia is just an absolutely delightful woman. So she's going to teach us how we can think like a marketer. And then, of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I, along with the rest of you, will be enjoying family and friends, and we will be busy celebrating on that Thursday as well as on Friday. So the Best of Donna will be playing on Thursday and Friday. I just wanted to let you know. Monday, we're going to be talking with James Pockross. We're going to be talking about his publication, Confessions of a Real Estate Mini Mongol. And I'll tell you, this is a real good book. If you are interested in real estate, for all of the things that we're hearing that's wrong about it, this is also an opportunity. If you have some capital and you're interested in making an investment in real estate or learning about how to make real estate work for you, you're going to want to hear what he has to say because it is really good. So that'll be coming up on Monday, the last day of the month of November. And then also next week, my newsletter will be coming out, and watch for the list of authors and people that are going to be appearing on my show. That'll be coming up on the BBS site as well. So a lot of things changing just in a few days. I wanted to bring up some information. We always have to, whenever we're dealing with the internet, whenever we're dealing with email, we always must be alert for spam. And this is some information that David Horowitz came out with that crossed my desk, and I think it's worth repeating because we're coming into the holiday season, and the tricksters are out there really doing super colossal jobs. I mean, it's amazing what they can do with our systems. And this is something the leading cyber attacker that is coming under the guise of the IRS. Now, here we've just been talking about taxes and all kinds of good stuff and filing things electronically. Well, apparently, there is an email that is sent out that will have in the subject line warning that a notice of underreported income. Now, when you see that, that is a red flag big time. You don't want to even go there. This is something that people will open up almost immediately without thinking because they are very fearful of the IRS. This is a weapon that's being used against us. Our own fear can really cause a lot of problem. Now, what happens if you open up this notice of underreported income? The email directs recipients to click on a link to view their tax statement, which in turn takes you to a phony website or will instruct you to download and view an attachment. But instead of a tax report, you are opening up a hideous virus known as the Zeus Trojan. What happens with this? It will go into your bank accounts and literally drain them of money. This is just mind-boggling when you think about it. The people that have researched this spam campaign said that they found that the Zeus thieves were emptying more than $1 million a day out of victims' bank accounts as part of a widespread financial fraud scheme. $1 million a day. There have been small businesses that have been hit really hard with this because banks often hold the business accounts accountable for losses, Personal accounts, not necessarily, but business, they do. And this is something that was said, you cannot trust your computer's antivirus software to detect or disinfect this virus. The researchers that have been studying this virus say that the malicious scammers behind the Zeus are changing the program code a few times almost daily to evade detection, which prevents antivirus companies from breaking their codes and protecting their customers against this threat. So this is not a joke. This is really serious. And the only way to avoid being contaminated is to avoid being hit. Know this. The IRS never, ever sends personal notification via email. So immediately delete any such message as spam. And remember, you should never click on a link or download an attachment from an unknown source. Well, that's easier said than done. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of things from people that I know and that I trust, and I will sometimes open up stuff, and I don't know. I'm not going to be aware of what's being attached to it. But this, regarding the Zeus Trojan and an IRS statement of any kind that's in the subject line, the way that's been specifically stated, it is a red flag. And if you have any questions, then call the IRS if you're concerned about any of this. This is something that you really want to be very, very careful of. They are just having a field day. And how horrible would that be to have your account totally emptied out? I was visiting with someone at a bank just yesterday, and this woman was telling me how because of electronics, because of the sophistication of systems, they are telling business owners, keep a minimal amount in your checking account. In fact, they have it set up so that you can easily transfer from your savings into your checking. But they are telling business people, do not keep, if you are making $50,000 a week or whatever you're making, don't keep it all in your checking account. Keep a bare minimum in the checking account and keep the primary amount of your money in an adjacent savings account so that they're not going to have access to it. She said, believe it or not, we have seen these things happen. And then I come across this information, and I'm going, synchronicity, coincidence, whatever you want to call it. So the red flag is up and out. Be aware, be alert. And, of course, one of the best ways to stay alert is to check your account on a weekly basis. Sometimes people, they'll check it on a daily basis. But if you're a business person and you have merchant accounts and it takes a while for the money to get into the account, so on and so forth, this is something that you need to really be aware of. So it's very, very important. This is not a joke. It is the real thing. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. And I'll be delighted to chat with you and light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And I've got some wonderful stories that I want to share with you. And this is a poem I'm going to share, as this is exactly what's going on here in the Pacific Northwest. It's actually been going on for a couple of weeks. But Sharon Vaughn wrote this. It's just a few lines of a poem, and the most gorgeous photograph with this. Trees that the leaves have all turned yellow, and they're covering the ground, which if you're on the East Coast, you know what I'm talking about. There's just this canopy of color that's all over the ground like it is here in the Pacific Northwest. This is what Sharon said. She said, bronze leaves drift downward, a carpet of color reflecting the sun, heart of autumn. Ah, yes, it is just absolutely amazing when you're going through these cycles. And here we're getting a lot of rain. Our mountains are filling with snow. Mount Rainier, she is just absolutely gorgeously garbed with her snow, her freshly fallen snow, and the ski lifts are in operation, and people are looking forward to really being out there on the mountains and starting to have the opportunity to just enjoy their winter sports. It is amazing how quickly it's going to be evolving into winter. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call when you're ready, 888-815-9756. Toll free, worldwide, 888-815-9756. When we come back, we're going to take a break in just a moment. When we come back, I'm going to share with you information on a snowflake crop circle. Totally appropriate for this time of the year, dependent on where you are. So I'll be sharing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and maybe even chat with you if you so desire. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-815-9756. Okay, this is the story about a snowflake crop circle. Now, I've actually seen the photos of this particular crop circle formation. Absolutely gorgeous. Now, this happened on August the 8th of 1997. It was considered for that year the most awesome, spectacular, incredible crop circle ever done, and it was done in Milk Hill, Wiltshire, in England, and it was in a field of wheat. Now, the interesting thing about this, it's called the Cook Snowflake. It is a fractal that represents the mathematical illustration of an infinite perimeter enclosing a finite space. Now, this had a six-petal flower design in the middle of it. Now, what they could not get over when they saw this from up above, the flower pattern mimicked an inverted snowflake fractal. There were smaller lace-like circles that were bordering the edge of the flower, included every technique used in the making of crop circles, from twisting stalks into a plate to winding them up as a cone. This is just amazing stuff. The formation contained a record-setting 204 exquisite circles laid in a clockwise rotation. The diameter of this crop circle was approximately 200 feet. This is just amazing. Now, the night it was created, there was a column of light that was seen streaming down from the sky. The people that witnessed this, their accounts of the creation of crop circles, it's really something, because there's not a lot of people that actually will see one happening in the process. But this one, they did. But there's been enough documented instances of formations appearing out of nowhere to discount the argument that they're produced by people or just a random natural occurrence. You can't look at this thing and say, oh, yes, sure, Mother Nature did this and it's just a random natural occurrence. Excuse me, not this. This is just amazing. Now, there's all kinds of reports where they say powerful wind-like forces caused this crop circle to happen in less than a minute. Not really. Now, what they've found in crop circles, if they're for real, the plant stems are, by and large, bent without being broken anywhere from an inch above the ground to halfway up a stalk. Green from the inside of the crop circles is molecularly altered, and it has a 40% higher growing rate, than its counterparts. Now, that is fascinating. What would create such a stimulus that the growth rate would be increased by that much? There was a company that went out and surveyed the whole crop circle, because this really has become so significant, and the research on these crop circles just keeps growing. They said if people had done this, it would have taken at least a week to complete, and 340 reference points would be required to accurately lay out this complicated fractal. That's exciting stuff. Isn't it wonderful to have things that are totally unique and mysterious? But I think it is amazing when the eyewitnesses that saw something coming down, a light, something affecting this, were an imprint, that's my word, was done with such a magnificent result. Incredible stuff. I just love it. Just love it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 888-815-9756. Oh, I came across some information regarding Christmas shopping. Now, these are some tips that Julia Scott and Mondi Beller and Robin Spitzman have come up with. And some of this is brand new to me, because I'm not a person that's on the computer a whole bunch. I'm not one that whizzes around on the internet except occasionally, but I know so many of you are so good at this. Well, I think you'll really enjoy this information, because these three people said if you start using a free online shopping website, you might be able to get cash back on some of your purchases. Now, Bank of America apparently has introduced an addituplink.bankofamerica.com. And it allows you to earn up to 20% cash back on online purchases. I forget how much money was spent online last year, but it's increasing this year. Also, you can score a percentage of cash back on purchases at quickenpicks.com. That's quickenpicks.com or bing.com/shopping. Also, because of the economy being in such a bad positioning, retailers are really marking down their products. They're marking them down now. Sales are going on all over the place. Why? They're retailers. They cannot afford to keep stuff on their shelves. I was in a major store just this afternoon, and I was looking at sale signs all over the place, and I thought, whoa. This is something, and of course, this Thanksgiving weekend, the day after Thanksgiving, is the big, 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 big shopping day. Well, be alert, because you're going to find there are some marvelous buys out there. So check out your favorite shops, if you can, to find out what they've got. And many of them will have information online. So whatever your favorite store is, I don't care how high-end or low-end it is, check it out, because they will have the information posted. Now, if you're interested in buying jewelry and you are interested in discount prices, check out Overstock.com and SmartBargains.com. Whatever they carry, the discounts are amazing, and they do have the biggest selections of any retailer around. All of this online. And you can also check online sample sales. And what this is about, if you don't go out shopping a whole bunch, retailers have a merchandise surplus and they want to sell it for whatever they can get. So they hold sample sales. And a lot of online stores are offering pieces of merchandise for up to 70% off. Also, there are shopping websites that can find the best deals for you. These are a two that I've got listed here, chicalert.com, chicalert.com, or shopdiary.com. They will red flag the real big things that are going on different places. And when it comes to electronics, last year models, hey, they're going to want to move them. Why not check them out? They're very good. There's nothing wrong with them. Slightly older stock, especially if you're searching for a computer, a TV, or an iPod, you may get a substantial discount. So check it out. And you might be surprised on a lot of sales that are going to be put on by what they call the tech junkies. So go out there. You can shop till you drop. But why not be effective with your dollar? And online, it's really hot stuff in today's world. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're out of time. This hour has just flown by. Thank you for joining me. I'm so delighted you were able to be with me today. Tomorrow we'll be thinking like a marketer. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous, fabulous day or evening wherever you are. We'll be back here, same time, same place, right on bbsradio.com, station number one. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.